Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
He hates the Chiefs.
The first time ever, Mahomes goes 9-8.
He's delusional about his Bengals.
Joe Burrow's going to get the job done again because he's going to be healthy. And they're going to win, and they're going to go to New Orleans and be in the Super Bowl.
But he knows everything about college football. Here's the host of the 249 Miles of College Football podcast, Drew Nixon.
Drew, and welcome, Drew. How you doing, my friend?
You do me so wrong with the intro. I never said Mahomes goes 9-8. Oh, my goodness.
Have you ever been arrested on your way to work?
Thankfully, no. It's stunning that this has happened twice in the sports world.
Scheffler deal. I think it's one of the greatest examples of being a professional. Like, can you block it out? Because if I had him on fantasy football, he would start. Because remember Scheffler, he didn't even warm up. The warm-up swing goes out there, and he was really good right after being arrested. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the ultimate sports block things out.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill is going to go for 200 yards and like three touchdowns today, isn't he?
No, I agree with you 100%. But, Drew, I brought you on to talk college football with me because I love it so much, and so do you. Because you and I text back and forth during the games because you have four TVs up. I've got about the same up. We're watching every damn game, and 11 o'clock slate yesterday was absolutely ridiculous. But I have a trivia question for you right off the bat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'm going to play the role of an a-hole here. I just want to see if you know it. All right.
Probably not, but let's do it.
North Carolina State has 118 years of football that they've played, which is quite a bit. How many 10-win seasons does North Carolina State have in that 118 years?
I'm going to say four.
Nope. It was one, my friend. I remember when one winning season where they've had double digits. 13 times they've had 9 wins, and they're claiming 10 wins in that COVID year because UCLA had to bow out of the game or something, so they're claiming it as a win. That's not a win. 2002, they won 11 games with Chuck Amato. So isn't that crazy when you think 118 years? I wrote that down because I wanted to have fun with you on that one. But real quick, Drew, we'll talk about the local teams. But before we do, we got to talk about this nugget that happened yesterday in South Bend.
He's lining it up. 5 seconds left. NIU up 16-14. 62-yarder. Snap, hold, Jeter's kick. It's blocked! It's blocked! It's blocked! Picked up by NIU! Picked up by NIU! The Huskies have done it! The Huskies with the biggest upset in NIU history! They come to South Bend, Indiana, and they knock off the number 5 team in the country. NIU 16, Notre Dame 14. The football gods were shining down on NIU.
That's the NIU official broadcast there. How good was this finish, Drew? I mean, Notre Dame, they go down to Texas A&M, and we can win in week one. And we're thinking, okay, how good is Notre Dame? And then they have this upset. Northern Illinois has been to the Orange Bowl before, but they've never had a win over a top 10 team like this.
It's the biggest win in school history. I think what was really cool after the game, I don't know if you saw this or if anybody else saw this, but Thomas Hammack talking.
Oh, that interview,
You know, all the emotion. Like, it's everything of what sports should be. And, look, I picked Notre Dame to go to the college football playoff. I picked them to go undefeated because I, for whatever reason, decided to become a believer this year. Never again. Notre Dame pulled a Notre Dame, and they blow it. And this is the third time where there have been, I think it was like a 14 or 15-plus point favorite, and they've lost under Marcus Freeman, which is a little bit of a question mark, I think, going into the narrative. Like you said, they can never beat anybody that was a good team under Brian Kelly, and they're struggling now even more to pull off wins against mediocre competition during the regular season with Marcus Freeman.
Especially when you're not in the conference, you know, and they're heading the bank right on getting there. That's going to derail them. Another big game as far as across the landscape, obviously number 3 versus 10. Michigan, you know, of course, Jim Harbaugh is left now. He's with the Chargers. But they did have 13 guys drafted last year. They don't have quarterback play. That was evident. But 13 guys went off to the NFL. That's more than half your starters were drafted in the NFL. They probably were going to take some steps back. But Texas goes in there and whips up at 31-12.
Yeah, Texas looked really good. But to your point, Bink, I think that this is more on what Michigan isn't than what Texas is, at least at this point of the season, because you mentioned all those guys that they lost. They also lose Jim Harbaugh. And I think I like Sherrone more, but it's going to be interesting to see how he tries to rally the troops together, because the quarterback situation is apparent and highlights all of the issues that they have. But when you go and you lose a ton of starters to the NFL, when you lose guys in the portal, when you lose a head coach who has set a culture for a certain amount of time, you know, all of those things, and you're playing a top three team in the country early on, it's really tough to find a way to win that game. And it was really the second quarter that decided everything. But I think Michigan will be okay. But the idea of them making the playoff, I think, was silly for anybody to think to begin with going into this season after all that they lost, you said.
But only 82 yards rushing for Michigan. This isn't, you know, Michigan football. Donovan Edwards, I like him a lot at running back, but only 41 yards. But Texas, man. I mean, you think about all the NFL talent they lose. Jonathan Brooks gone, Jatavion Sanders gone, A.D. Mitchell gone, Xavier Worthy gone. I mean, just gone, gone, gone. So they just replace with Isaiah Bond that comes over from Alabama. Matthew Golden, the wide receiver, doing well. And Ryan Wingo, that I really like, and you're really going to know his name, from St. Louis, the true freshman from Texas, had one carry for 55 yards, but he's a wide receiver. And I texted Chris because we're going to put Gunnar Helm on our radar now, because last year was Jatavion Sanders. He had 7 for 98 in the touchdown at the tight end position. So
yeah,
Gunnar Helm is now going on our watch list. But looking at the local teams, Drew, talking college football with Drew Nixon, he has the 249 miles of college football podcast that comes out each and every week. But Tulane and Kansas State. I was, to Kansas State fans, caution. This is a tough game to go play. And
yes,
Tulane's won 23 games this last 2 years. I know Willie Fritz is now gone to Houston, but John Summerall comes over there from Troy, where he won 23 games in the last 2 years, and he's very good defensively. Tulane had a redshirt freshman starting quarterback, but they've known how to win. They've gotten to a New Year's Six Bowl before with this team. But Kansas State, they didn't show – there's a little bit of cause for concern for the Wildcats, in my opinion, because that secondary was shredded by a freshman quarterback.
Yeah, that, and it's a position group that Coach Klieman has praised so much going into the season, that to see them get beat the way that they did, you know, eventually they were able to make some plays and they get the pick late and all of that stuff. But it's cause for concern how open the middle of the field was. There were multiple blown assignments. One of the things on the podcast that I said, Bink, and it was impressive the way K-State reacted in the second half, outscoring Tulane by 17, but how do they start? Because against UT Martin, it was a little bit shaky to start off with offensively. Again, a little bit shaky to start off with, but eventually, you know, Avery Johnson found his footing. DJ Giddens was electric. So was Dylan Edwards. And they were able to figure it out. I think this is – people, I think, at the end of the year might gloss over this win, but this is a really, really high-quality win for Kansas State to have a true road game against Tulane, who might win the American Conference. It's a really good win for Kansas State to be able to pull off now going into the game against Arizona and going into that Big 12 gauntlet of a schedule. They ended up pulling it out. I do think, though, you're right in the concern being the secondary and how they go up against a team like Arizona in particular, who like to throw the ball all over the yard.
I think a couple teams have to worry about some things. Kansas State's one of Oregon's the other one. They win 3 points over Boise State, which, you know, could be one of those teams out of the Power Five that ends up making the playoffs as the 12th seed. They gave Oregon all that they wanted to. But a tough game for Kansas State. Bottom line, DJ Giddens is a stud. I mean, this is already, I think, a top five running back going to the NFL draft. You add in Dylan Edwards and that speed. If Avery Johnson, you know, gets this thing down, gets that confidence, starts to build up, look out for the ground game of Kansas State.
Yeah, I think him being able to – and that was the talk, right, Binks, from like the get-go, is with Connor Riley and the system that they have in bringing in Matt Wells, Avery can stretch the field maybe a little bit better than what Will Howard can from a throwing perspective. It's taken a little bit for them to still get there, but with if he can start to you know continue to just to hammer out that chemistry and get all of that down, the run game is going to pop even more. And we already know how good the run game is. If Avery can be able to have that to be that threat of passing the ball down the field, like, yeah, this might be a read option, but he can also throw it, you know, and we're running the RPOs and all that stuff. It can make him so much more dangerous from an offensive standpoint than they already are, which is one of the better offenses in the country in terms of ground game.
Let's look at Kansas State in the Sunflower State. They do lose their offensive coordinator, and we'll find out how big this is going to be because Andy Kotelnicki is now at Penn State as the offensive coordinator, was at Kansas. This was a Lance Leipold disciple, had been with him since Wisconsin Whitewater, went to Buffalo with him, then went to Kansas with him, and you know, and knew the system well for what Kansas was, but they do have to replace him. That was actually a pretty big loss for Kansas going in this year. I know a lot of people are looking forward to things, but Illinois is a team that won 5 games last year. They've been decimated with the NFL draft, especially defensively, the last couple of years. But Jalen Daniels, 3 interceptions in the game. I know people are excited that he was going to start this year because how he goes, this team goes. Devin Neal still gets 100 yards for that team. But a tough loss for Kansas at a very pesky, sold-out Illinois.
Yeah, it's one of those games, Bink, where just as you said, the team kind of goes as Jalen Daniels goes. Jalen Daniels didn't go very well. And what happened to the team? It didn't go very well, and they lost on the road. I mean, they had 4 turnovers. To Illinois, one, they outgained them. I mean, if you look at statistically, the turnovers are the reason why they essentially lost the game. Also, coming down the stretch, they couldn't get a stop. The Fighting Illini went down on an almost 7-minute drive and kicked a field goal with under a minute left to go up 6. I mean, you got to be able to get off the field in that moment, and they couldn't quite get the defensive stop. But the play calling is a question mark. Like, obviously, Jalen Daniels wasn't very good, but them losing Andy Kotelnicki, I think, is it already is standing out a little bit, Bank, in terms of how we see the way that Kansas's offense flows and the way that Jalen Daniels looks within it. They play UNLV, who could be a little bit salty. I know that they lost a lot in the portal, but Barry Odom brings some guys in that game coming up on Friday. And then they go on the road to West Virginia and start the Big 12 play. But it's a really tough loss. But technically, in terms of playoff outlook, it doesn't change anything for them, in my opinion, because before coming into the season, they needed to win the Big 12 to get into the playoff anyways. They can still win the Big 12 with one loss. But they need to figure out the offensive issues, starting, I guess, first and foremost, with Jalen Daniels not turning the ball over.
Yeah, Barry Odom out there at UNLV. He actually Mountain West Coach of the Year last year for that team. Missouri loses Blake Baker, the defensive coordinator, outstanding defensive coordinator. He's now at LSU. And you look at what else they got at Corey Batoon, now the defensive coordinator for the Missouri Tigers. The Missouri Tigers have not allowed one single point this season. Now, they've played Murray State. They've played Buffalo. They'll play Boston College this coming weekend. That'll be a different game for them. But that was the big concern for Missouri was this defense. Everybody was like, this offense is fine. You know, this offense is going to be with Norfleet at tight end, even though we didn't play last weekend, but Marcus Carroll at the running back and Noel that comes in this year and Brady Cook at quarterback. And of course, Luther Burden. We know this offense is good, but they haven't allowed a point. I mean, not even slipping up to a team. You know, we've seen FCS teams like Murray State or Buffalo. I don't know, Buffalo didn't win a lot of games, 3 games last year, but still they find a way to still score on the backups. But Missouri's not giving up a point.
Yeah, you'll love this stat. This is the first time since 1935 that Mizzou started a season with back-to-back shutouts. I mean, that's something that Mizzou fans haven't seen, obviously, in almost 100 years. But I think to what you said, I know that they were playing – we know that they're playing softer opponents, and Boston College is going to be a different test for them, especially the way that they've looked in Thomas Castellanos and all that stuff. But the way that Missouri has started the season – is exactly how they needed to start the season. I think, you know, there's been some question marks like we talked about with K-State offensively. A little bit slower, you know, they are 2-0, but there are some question marks. With Kansas, obviously they lose to Illinois. There's some question marks. With Missouri, there hasn't been anything, and Luther Burden didn't even play in the second half last night because he was dealing with being sick, which he'll be fine, according to Coach Drinkwitz. But they've got the weaponry on offense, and defensively, being able to bring in the guys that they did, I think the mindset, even from like the summertime, taking everything one game at a time. Coach Stringwitz is making sure that they get each and everything they can out of every game. It just sounds like they're more focused as a unit, and we're seeing that through these first two games. It'll be interesting to see how things go this upcoming week against Boston College.
Drew, I'm going to have fun with doing this segment with you each and every Sunday. I think it's fun. I love college football. I love to talk somebody with it. As far as nationally, has there been one team, I'll leave you with this, has there been one team that you've kind of looked at differently this year than you did last year and think, all right, this team's much better than we thought they were last year?
From a national perspective, there's a few teams that I think it was Notre Dame, which I don't know how good that take is going to be. This year, I think everybody wants to overreact to week one and how things looked. Based on what we've seen from USC, they look really, really good. LSU, I think, is a team that can make the playoff, but I'm watching Tennessee as well. Tennessee last night destroyed NC State. Nico Iamaleava is looking really good.
Nico looks fantastic.
He's an underrated pick for the Heisman being. I think Tennessee could maybe find a way to sneak themselves in over an LSU, over a potential Ole Miss as well, depending on how things go for them. I like what the Vols are doing. I think people might need to keep an eye on them as well.
You know, I do. I really like what Tennessee. They'd be number two as far as teams that kind of like you turn your head a little bit. But I'm with you on USC because this isn't your daddy's USC team. Last year, that defense was so bad. Remember San Jose State, that first game, they were terrible. That defense looked terrible against Colorado. And it held back Caleb Williams from being any good because the defense was so bad. But Dante Lynn comes over, that had a top 10 defense at UCLA, comes over as defensive coordinator. Matt Entz, that had two national titles at North Dakota State, leaves being a head coach to be an assistant head coach and linebackers coach at USC. And then I know people were kind of making fun of Brian Kelly and all that in LSU, but this USC team, when USC beat them in week one, this USC team is good because they can play defense now.
I think that makes them so much more dangerous. And the idea, too, is that Miller Moss it's crazy that he stayed, because if you look at how good he is, and I don't know if this is just a gym or whatever it was, but Lincoln Riley's got his next guy, and Miller Moss is legit. The running game is legit. Zachariah Branch, credit to him for staying there, because there's a lot of people, I'm sure, there's a lot of offers I'm sure he got in NIL Bank to leave and go to an SEC school. But he stayed at USC. He's one of the most electric players in the game. I think people do need to watch out for USC, just based on, as you said, the way that the defense played definitely stands out for the Trojans. And who knows when they get the Big Ten play. We'll see what happens. But, they look really good early on.
Drew, do you like your intro?
I like the intro, and okay, I'm sure you guys are going to like this even more.
Yeah.
Ja'Marr Chase is playing.
I saw that.
Uday.
That's great.
Bink.
Yep. Joe Scheisty.
Come on now. You got the blonde hair? Come on, Bink.
Anyway, I love talking some college football with you. That was a lot of fun, man. I appreciate that. We're going to have a lot of fun this year doing that.
As do I, Bink. Thank you so much. Have a good one. Enjoy the games today.
I know Quentin likes putting that intro together because I thought that was fantastic. Coming up next, the Kansas City Royals looking good against the Minnesota Twins. We'll talk a little Royals baseball next.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it's really refreshing!
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back, Jay Binkley, Quentin Morris. That was Drew Nixon, which will be joining us to talk college football throughout the season. Didn't talk about, because we ran out of time, but the Colorado-Nebraska game. Last year, Colorado wins 36-14. You know, Shedeur Sanders holds up the watch, like what time it is. Dylan Raiola, the Patrick Mahomes lookalike for Nebraska. Nebraska dominated that first half. Colorado played a little better defensively. Of course, they outscored Nebraska in the second half. But Colorado is not good. They aren't. This is a team that places blame on others, and that offensive line is complete trash. They're not going anywhere because that offensive line sucks, and at some point it's going to be a problem between the quarterback and the offensive line.
Loser mentality.
They do.
Another loser mentality.
And then Shadur after the game, you know, I mean, he did leave early to get checked out, Deion said, so who knows what happened there. But he was all smiles and stuff, you know, at his press conference. But
loser.
Regardless, yeah, I would definitely buyer beware in the NFL with that attitude. The Kansas City Royals have won three straight, of course, on the heels of that seven-game losing streak they were on. 32-16 now versus American League Central teams this season. Are 5-7 against the Twins, but a chance to sweep today. But they're 44-30 at Kauffman Stadium. How about that? I mean, they're a good team at home.
You build your team. You know, we talked about this during the 14-15 right series, the World Series runs. You build your team for your home stadium, and you just hope that you can be 500 on the road. You build defense, team speed, and then you went out and got good starting pitching. I mean, that's what this Burns talked about. That every post game, every pre game, if you can, they're the great equalizers in baseball. If you can run the bases well, you know, get the extra 90 feet, play good defense, take away some of the base runners on the other team, and your starting pitching dominates, you know, that's a recipe for success because offenses go up and down all year. They slump like we saw basically all of last week, but they seem to be finding themselves now.
And the Red Sox are four games behind the Twins now because the Royals have a 1.5 game cushion over the Minnesota Twins, hopefully two and a half games after today. But Boston's five games under at Fenway. That is not a team built for the ballpark, like you said. But the Royal starters have been incredible. They've allowed two runs or fewer in seven of the last nine games. Like they've got how good has Tommy Pham been? It's about the additions you make when you make them. Guys that are well respected in the clubhouse. Guys that go out and deliver big hits. Didn't cost you a thing, but make your team better. You lose Vinny, and that was huge. But how about grabbing a guy like Tommy Pham and seeing that kind of production? Because you have it at the top of the order there. Like that is this team seems to. J.G. Piccolo is kind of doing some Brett Veach things. You know, you get the right guy at the right time for the right system. It's got to be a good fit, and you have to like what the Royals have been doing.
Yeah, Tommy, I Pham a believer, Bink. Tommy Pham has been, since he got here.
He's also, batting. If you get in a fight, he'll kick somebody's ass.
He's batting .320, and he has a slugging of .840. The average MLB batter has an on-base percentage of .720. So, look, Tommy Pham brought in at the right time. It's unfortunate why he had to come to this team. But this is just another example, you're exactly right, of the Royals front office has begun to accept modern baseball, right? This is a front office that is willing to go out and make moves. It's sort of those moves that you help the team around the edges at the right time, and that's what the Royals have been able to do. You sign free agents that, you know, didn't blow anybody's doors off. You trade guys to get a Cole Reagans, and then, you know, around the trade deadline, you add a Paul DeJong. You know, these guys, nobody was super excited about these additions, but they've all contributed to what you're trying to do.
Finding the right piece at the right time. That was the Royals' 37th comeback win on the year last night. By the way, the Twins, they're 2-4 on their road trip, and they're 6-13 in their last 19 games. That is not playing good baseball when you should be playing good baseball. Which I didn't believe in the Twins at the beginning. I'm shocked they hung on this long. But I do believe they'll be in the postseason. I think three teams in the American League Central will be in the postseason.
And isn't that crazy? Because the entire narrative coming into the year was this is the worst division in baseball. And yet this is the division that has, you know, the Cleveland has been on top basically since the beginning.
It's because you got the White Sox in here, and they're the worst team I've ever seen ever.
Yeah, aren't they? I think after the game when Steve Stewart was doing the calls, they're, what, 10 games away from being the worst team in baseball history?
They have 111 losses.
Because it's the 62 Mets that have the record, right?
Yeah, they the Tigers lost, what, 119 one time? I think that they lost. But Chicago is so bad. That is the worst team I have ever seen. They're also officially eliminated at this point, which is no shocker there, but 111 losses this season. The second half of the season, they only have five wins since the All-Star break. That's it.
That's crazy. I do think one Royals player needs a shout out, and that is Daniel Lynch and what he's been able to do. Pitch three quality innings last night, right when Marsh couldn't come out and pitch that well. He had like 40 pitches within the first two innings, just a lot of long at bats. So they had to bring Daniel Lynch in. He hasn't allowed a run since he came back up from AAA. He has been a very valuable piece for this team. And, you know, while he's quote-unquote a failed starter, if you want to call him that now, he's been very good out of the bullpen. And once again, this team using arms in ways that maybe you weren't going to use him initially, but have been very successful in bringing him out of the bullpen.
I mean, just everything they've done. You know, in the offseason, bringing in Lugo and Waka as 14 postseason games himself. And, well, actually, Paul DeJong has 14 postseason games as well. Just finding the right pieces. It's kind of the story of this team. You know, every move they're making is just smarter than everybody else. That's what the Chiefs have to do. The Chiefs have the same budget as anybody else in the NFL. Obviously, baseball's different, but they just have to be smarter. And the Royals are proven to be smarter than everybody else.
I can't think of a bad move that they've done this year.
I mean, they stayed true to MJ Melendez.
Mm-hmm. Which has worked out.
Stayed with them, believed in them. And he's living Hunter Renfroe, started off slow, but they believed in Hunter Renfroe. They turned things around. He did. Tommy Pham, as you said, has been a breath of fresh air, 2-4 yesterday. Bobby Witt continues to be an amazing player.
What an amazing signing this offseason. Because if they would have waited one more year, ooh, man, that contract would have went up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just they're a fun team. I'm glad that they had 29,100 at the game yesterday. Was that the Salvi bobblehead night?
Yeah, the big bobblehead.
Did you get one of those?
I did. Yeah, it's pretty cool. The bubble looks like glass, even though it's plastic. It's pretty cool.
How long did you have to wait in line to get that?
I was there probably. I got there, had a little parking lot bruise, and then
parking lot brew.
A parking lot
Zuh.
bruise. Yeah, plural. Yeah, we were in line on the third baseline, and you know it wrapped. It wrapped all the way around, and it went all the way back to the fence. We were standing in grass in order to get the bobblehead, but yeah, we got one.
I'll give the bobbleheads a little bit of credit in the weather and the fact that the Chiefs played on Thursday night for some of that. But buy into this team. This team is fun to watch. They give it all. They care. They take an ownership of this team. The leaders of this team have completely understand what – it reminds me like the George Brett days where you take everything personally. Like you take losing personally. This team feels like they take losing personally, and that's what you're waiting for, because I can't say that over the last few years. You know, when Ben Attendee was here and Whit Merrifield and stuff, as far as taking it personally, and they have. Oh, by the way, Ohtani, that was a 7-hour line for that bobblehead in L.A. They let people in the stands early because there were so many people waiting. I had this debate last week on the show. I won't wait 15 minutes at a restaurant. There way in hell I'm waiting that long for a bobblehead. Bless you, man. I would have stayed out there and drank the beer.
I had a line brew with me too. You know, you take
oh,
one with
line,
you.
Yeah, a line pocket, beer.
Yeah, just walk up. I mean, because the worst thing that happens is right before I walk through security, I just got to chug it. You know,
if you drink one of those beer bats,
I've done the margarita bat.
Really?
Yes. Which when it's, you know, 97 degrees outside. And because you can't, at that point, the beer warms up too quickly. So you get the frozen margarita bat, and the first thing that happens is the frozen margarita just melts, but it's still cold.
I always drink the beer kind of fast, so I wouldn't be a problem. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'd hate to spend a lot of money, though.
I've been to probably 6 games this year, you know, a couple tickets from the Ticket Fairy here, but... I don't mind it just because that's just the way that it is. I only get like one, you know.
We'll talk more about the situation. Tyreek Hill, by the way, Calais Campbell was in handcuffs along with Tyreek Hill in that situation. By the way, Ja'Marr Chase, according to Adam Schefter, not expected to reach that contract extension before today's game. It was, you know, nothing like waiting until last minute like Dak Prescott. But Ja'Marr needs to play because the Bengals, they have an easy schedule. But T. Higgins is not playing because of that hamstring. If Ja'Marr Chase didn't play in this game, I mean, they don't want to bury themselves early like they've had the last couple of years happen.
That's been us. I mean, I think just historically, over the past 2 or 3 years, that's just been a team that gets off to a slow start. Remember, was it last year when Joe Burrow threw like 4 interceptions against the Steelers to open the year? I mean, that's a team that just does not look good to open the year.
Come up next, though, we'll take a look at the NFL slate for today as we're on our first NFL Sunday. I know there's been 2 games played to this point, but we'll talk about that. Then, last segment, our upset of the week. And welcome back. Jay Binkley, Quentin Morris, Josh Vernier comes your way at noon. The Royals have won 3 straight games at this point. Hopefully the K is filled up today. A lot of great weather for the for Kauffman Stadium today and the Kansas City Royals. So go enjoy 37 comeback wins for the Royals so far this year. I'll join Vern about 12:15. For a pick, I've been carefully thinking about which pick to make today, Quentin, because I need to come back, my friend.
It's so funny. I've told this to Vern before. I said, when you come on the Sunday show, you've always got such good reasoning for why you're picking guys. You come in, you've got a whole list of, I'm picking this guy for this reason, and it makes total sense. And then it just never happens.
Never does.
So
it's like Top Gun 2 with Hangman.
I think
wait for that opportunity that never comes.
Here's what you need to do. You need to do the same thing. Come up with your reasoning, and then just do the opposite of it.
You know, yeah, it's like fantasy football. If you overthink things, you know, you look at the run defense, look at the weather, things like that. You overthink things. That's exactly what I've done to this point. But we'll try to have a winner or two. I need a couple wins. I need to you know, bring out the big guns.
Do you know how far you're down?
Real bad.
Like White Sox bad?
I would probably be the equivalent of White Sox. Last year I was really bad. Then I ended up in second.
Yeah, because it was post All-Star break. Just started to give it all to Bobby.
Because it's Bobby Wood Jr. the whole time. It's like 100% go. What do you think of the NFL kickoffs, by the way, before we go to the NFL slate? Because, you know, kickoffs are down. People aren't doing it. I knew this was going to happen. I knew it because, listen, in preseason, you know, teams are returning kicks. The NFL's getting all excited. Just like Belichick said, when Bill Belichick was talking about this, he's like, everybody wants to test their units, test the special teams units, and you're going to see more teams try it out. And then all of a sudden they're going to realize they're getting to the 28. We'll just kick it through the end zone, put it to 30, because it's not 35, at the 30, and they'll do that. I'm with Bill. Just move the damn kickoff back. Get rid of the landing zone and just move the ball back to the 20. They kick at 35 now, move it to the 20.
Or you could leave the landing zone and all that, and you can just move the kicker back. You could do both, right? So if they try and boot it out of the back of the end zone, maybe it doesn't actually reach the back of the end zone. Like, I liked the thought process of it, right? It just hasn't worked up to this point. Because, of course, there were going to be more returns in preseason.
It's a one-year experiment. They thought about moving it to the 35.
Yeah,
the touchback.
I'm wondering why they like almost hedged their bet on that. Like, why did they change their mind halfway through?
I've never been a fan, and they did talk about the possibility they'd move it to the 35, that touchback instead of the 30. It's like, you don't change the rules in the middle of the game. Like, teams have gone to training camp and everything in preseason and prepared, you know, for how it is. And it goes to the 30, just do it next year. Don't change the rules in the middle of the game. All right, Sunday, red zone. We're all loving this. Got football all day long. Cannot wait for the National Football League today. Any game particular standing out to you? Because we have the Steelers at the Falcons, Cards at the Bills, Titans at the Bears. See some Caleb Williams, number 1 overall pick in that game. Patriots at the Bengals, Texans at Colts, Jags at Dolphins, Panthers at Saints, Vikings at Giants, Raiders at Chargers, Broncos at Seahawks, Cowboys at Browns, Commanders at Bucks. Then tonight, Stafford returns to Detroit again. The Rams at the Lions tomorrow night. So looking forward to these games in the Jets and 49ers tomorrow night. It should be noted, in the last 10 opening games, the Colts are 0-9-1. And they play the Texans today, which it could be a trap game for buying into the hype that Indy can't win in the first week.
Yeah, it could be that, and it could also just be buying into the hype that is what the Houston Texans have been all offseason, right? I do think that the Colts are going to be a competitive team this year. I want to see more from Anthony Richardson. I don't know why people are selling Anthony Richardson stock, as it were, just because we saw him only for a little bit last year, and from what we saw, you could see the explosiveness, right? The arm talent is there. We just saw so little, it's hard to come to a conclusion for that. So,
and Downs is out in this game, but A.D. Mitchell, I really like That was Mitchell,
yes,
A.D.
Mitchell.
I'm a big fan of A.D. Mitchell.
100%. That's an interesting, and it's also a divisional game, and you know, divisional games are crazy, especially when you have two competitive football teams. So yeah, that's a game that I'm interested in. If you are, I'm a believer in the Seahawks this year. So anytime the Seahawks, they're playing the Broncos, we'll see some Bo Nix. And, you know, I think that Bo Nix is going to come out throwing the ball, and it's going to be a lot of short stuff. We're going to see a lot of little crossing routes and a lot of dig routes, and it's going to be boom, boom. It's going to be like the, you know, Drew Brees offense, right? In the peak like that, it's going to be a lot of short stuff, and you're hoping your guys can get yards after the catch. That's what I'm expecting from the Broncos offense. And the Seahawks, man, I just think they've got a lot of talent on that team, and they're going to be a sneaky team this year.
You got to know when that window's closing and when it's opening. You know, San Francisco's finding that window start to close because they're going to have to pay Brock Purdy. Then what are you going to do? Then what situation? But I am looking forward to, I'm actually looking forward to the Jags and the Dolphins because of the Tyreek Hill deal.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm actually curious about that. What we're going to do each and every week in our last segment on Sundays before we hit noon, we're going to do our upset of the week. We'll see if I can win this one since I'm doing so bad in baseball. The upset of the week in the NFL next. 11 minutes to Josh Vernier. Get you ready for the Royals and the Twins. Also 11 minutes to NFL on Sundays. Sign me up for Red Zone. But right now, Quinn, we take a look at our upset of the week in the National Football League. I'll let you go first.
Yeah, so my upset of the week, we've got a. I still think, even though it's going to be an upset, I think it's going to be a very good game. I've got the Rams are facing the Lions. I'm a believer in the Lions offense this year. I don't know how you couldn't be. They've got Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua coming back. Matthew Stafford is still a top quarterback in the NFL. And I know me and you talked about this before the show. They added some dogs on that defense, right?
You got Matt Campbell doing an Applebee's commercial he's very good at, you know, it fires the team up.
Yeah, so I'm a big fan of what they've done. The Rams have done this offseason, so I've got the Rams coming out against the Lions and winning.
Lions are -5 in this game. I don't know if the last one you saw, but you have the Rams outright winning.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to take a look at this one. Not a big believer in the Browns. Last year I was in it, you know, on Deshaun Watson. I was like, don't sleep on this guy. But it was disappointing. And Joe Flacco comes in, gets comeback player of the year. Kevin Stefanski wins coach of the year. The Browns are 2.5-point favorites at home against the Cowboys. I'm taking the Cowboys to win outright in this game as the Browns are the favored team. Dak Prescott got paid. He's got that bag. And everybody's happy in Dallas now. And he's got 60 million reasons. That will fire the Cowboys up. And the Cowboys, I think, beat the Browns on the road.
I don't understand why anybody is still a believer in Deshaun Watson, because what has he proven to you over the past 4 seasons?
I mean, remember when he had his incident the year before, he led the NFL in passing yards. So,
right.
And it's a guy that beat Mahomes early in his career, and he had that 24-0 lead in the playoffs, and then he just fallen off the map. And I was like, think about what he's getting paid. Does he deserve to be in that echelon of great quarterbacks in the AFC? Because he was well on his way. Is people have tried to find this rival for Mahomes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be Burrow? Is it going to be Allen? It was Deshaun Watson before anybody, and he's just kind of fallen flat.
Look, we saw what that offense was with Joe Flacco as the quarterback, right?
Flacco.
Yeah, Joe Flacco, because his career has been that Super Bowl run was a fluke.
I've always thought he was an a-hole ever since he was in Denver and wouldn't teach Drew Lock.
But we saw what that offense was with that. And
but he has a ring and he is elite. Just kidding. He does have a ring, though.
He does have a ring. Yeah, the Flacco run. Look, the reason, the fact that he could come in and play like that, and Deshaun Watson looked so bad while he was running that offense, I mean, it tells me exactly what he is. He doesn't throw the ball down the field anymore. If you take the quarterback out of the situation, the Browns, as a team, is full of talent all across the board.
I don't think they'll be as good defensively as they were last year.
That was the next point I was getting to, is that it's so hard to have consistently great defenses, especially when you start talking like number one, number two defenses. It's so hard to be consistent in that category year in and year out, just because a lot of the talent leaves. And unlike the offense, which is driven through the quarterback, there's not really a quarterback on the defense, as it were. Like, if you have an elite pass rusher, you can run your defense through them. But even still, the three levels of defense, you almost have to have stars at each position to have an elite defense consistently in and out, and defenses tend to lose players more often than the offenses do. So they're going to be good, obviously, but I don't think it's going to be, you know, the number one, number two, number three defense as it was last year.
Are you with me on my upset? Because I'm not with you. Is that like the Lions, you know, at home in this one? But yeah. Are you with me on the Cowboys?
I think the Cowboys are going to beat the Browns.
Okay.
So I think you like I said, I have to quarterback play. Dak Prescott's the better quarterback. And I just think that we'll see what Deshaun Watson does. He's just so bad and been so inconsistent that, you know, plus he may even get injured in this game. Let's be honest. The guy's been when he's not playing because of off the field stuff, he's not playing because he continues to get hurt.
And I am curious about that Raiders-Chargers game just because they're in the division. Andy Reid's 41-7 in this division since 2016. That is complete domination that Andy Reid has. So I guess I'm curious if that, just see what they got. I still look at the Raiders and Broncos kind of the same. You know, the Raiders definitely behind the eight ball as far as the Broncos, because the Broncos have what they think is their quarterback
right
in Bo Nix going forward. But the Raiders, they're going to be in line to draft one again next year, and that just sets you back year in and year out.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how many times the Chargers run the ball. Is this truly what the Chargers are going to be? And how healthy is Justin Herbert, right?
How much are they going to miss Eckler because they get the Baltimore backfield down?
Yeah, and also, you want to talk about injury history, the Baltimore backfield over the last couple years. So was it really a good idea to go out and get guys that have had an injury history? You know, we'll see about that. I think the Raiders defense is going to make big plays just because that pass rush. I do think that pass rush is legit, but that backfield of the Raiders defense is bad. When's the last time they had a good corner they got Marcus Peters?
So bad last 5 years. Draft is terrible.
It's been so bad. So if the Chargers want to go out and throw the ball, I think they'll be able to do it. If they want to come out and run the ball, that's going to be very interesting. How will the Raiders hold up against a coach that has been known to be very successful in running the football?
The sleeper game I'm looking forward to, though, as far as if you're looking forward to a sleeper game, the Texans and the Colts, and it's because I am curious about Richardson, and I'm curious 100%. About the Colts, but the Texans, too, because we've seen so many teams, like, take the step and then revert back to the normal, revert back to the means, like
the Jaguars.
We've seen Jags do it twice. They hit the AFC title game with, like, Bertles, take a step back. Chiefs ruin them, right? And then they get there and they win a playoff game against the Chargers, took a step back. They didn't even make the playoffs last year. The Texans, though, I am buying this team, and I'm usually like wait and see guy from the show me state, right? Show me. You can back it up. But D'Amico Ryans seems like the truth as head coach. And that defense in San Francisco isn't the same that since he's left. And with the additions that they've made to that team, and I am a believer in C.J. Stroud, the Texans, I do believe, and they won a playoff game last year, right? Like, I am buying in to the Texans being one of the better teams in the AFC. But I'm curious about this Colts. And again, the Colts are 0-9-1 their last 10 opening games.
Okay, let me throw one more at you before we're done with the show. Bears at Titans.
Titans at the Bears, yeah.
Yeah. Let's see what that is, because Caleb Williams, number one story coming out of the draft.
And I love Romo Dunze.
And then what will the Titans defense look like? I don't trust anybody that puts mayonnaise in their coffee. I immediately am not a fan.
No.
But what's that Titans defense going to look like? They added a lot of pieces this offseason. So what's that Titans defense?
They went crazy in free agency.
Yeah, they spent a lot of money.
Well, that doesn't always work. Will Levis, see what he's got. You know, I do like the Bears and the wide receivers. Look at Keenan Allen is playing today, I do believe. Quentin Morris, thank you very much. Appreciated it very much. We're going to have a lot of fun every Sunday. I know that we're going to have a ton of fun. Josh Vernier comes your direction next. Thanks to Drew Nixon. He's going to be joining us talking college football at 11 o'clock. James is getting ready to step in with Josh Vernier. But the Vern Dog, I'll come on there and make a winning bet at 12:15. Vern next.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's the refreshing!
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.